to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
This morning, I'd like to take some few minutes to deal on some strong subject that has been on my heart for a while now. I touched on it in Dusseldorf last week, Sunday. The four levels of blessings. And next week, Sunday, we want to talk about the purpose of the church and the purpose of blessing. Why am I blessed? And why do I seek for a blessing? Why do I want to be blessed? What is the reason? God that we serve is the God of objectivity. The God that we serve is the God of plan. The God that we serve is the God of design. He does things according to plan. The God that we serve is not ignorant and he's not stupid. He's well informed. And he does things according to plan. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, God called a man by the name of Abraham. How many of you brought your anointing oil? If you brought your anointing oil, please lift it up. Please lift it up. Let me see, please. If you brought your anointing oil, just show by hand if you did. How many of you brought your anointing oil, just show by hand this morning? Let me see your hand raised. Thank you so very much for being obedient. The Lord showed me something about this land here. He showed me that we needed to pour oil on the land to reclaim the land from the gods of the land. The Lord showed me in the spirit that years ago, generations ago, some very strange and powerful things were done in this particular area where we are situated in the spirit. And he said there is no need to go dig out what was done, but pour oil and sanctify the land and reclaim it from the authorities of the gods of the land and set it free for the purposes of Jehovah. Amen. So we are going to go out and walk on the land and pour oil and sanctify and reclaim the land from the hands of the gods of the land and free the land for the use of Jehovah. Say the use of Jehovah. And so thank you so very much for coming with the anointing oil. Amen. Come with me, if you please, to the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter, the book of all beginnings. There is a beginning and there is an end. Hallelujah. God called Abraham in Genesis, the 12th chapter, reading from verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and will bless thee, said Jehovah, and make thy name great, benefits of obedience, and thou shalt be a blessing. Hallelujah. And I will bless thee. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And somebody said amen. Say four levels of blessings. Now, you need to talk to me this morning. One more time, please. Say four levels of blessings. Number one blessing, say general blessing. Say it again, general blessing. Now, everyone that lives for Jesus is blessed. God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I have a plan. I have a desire. I have a purpose for your life. And this was determined in eternity before time. And I want to reveal my intentions. I want to make known to you the reason for your being and why you came to planet Earth. And God said, I have allowed you to serve and to be on your own for over 70 years. And it is now time for me to reveal my intentions and to bring to pass that which was determined in eternity before you were born into time. It is time to bring to pass my purpose. And God set conditions under which I will fulfill my plans and begin to reveal my intentions is that, number one, that you leave your country. And number two, that you leave your kinsman and leave your father's house. And ladies and gentlemen, I came to tell you this morning that there are so many of us, unless we are willing to leave some things, we can never conform into the purposes of Jehovah. We must leave in order to conform. We must leave our old way of thinking. We must leave the principles of our father's house. We must leave the mentality of our culture, the mentality of our traditions, of our customs, the things that ensnare us and undermine our total obedience to the purposes of Jehovah. We must leave, we must let go in order that we might conform and come to the realization and understanding of the purpose for which we were born to planet Earth. Paul said, brethren, not that I have apprehended, I haven't yet arrived. But he said, this one thing I seek and desire to do. He said, I follow after means I make a deliberate effort to know. I make a deliberate effort to seek, to understand, to bow into the mind of Jehovah, the reason of my being. He said, I follow after leaving all things behind, forgetting about the past, giving up on the achievements of the past. I reach out, forgetting about the pains, the betrayals, and the disappointment and the hurts of the past. I give up all the pain. I give up the betrayal of loved ones and friends. I let the past go. And it doesn't matter what they say and what they do. I give up on the past. And he said, I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which I was apprehended of Christ. We are not here because we don't have anything to do. We are not here to play religion because there are other religions. We are not just here in action because there is no church to attend. Because I know there are many other churches in town. And we live right here in the desert. And it must take something for you to leave downtown to come down to a desert and in a wilderness to serve Jehovah. There is a purpose. There's a reason why something moves you in the inside to make you commit to this place and make you feel like this is where you belong. And it doesn't matter the controversy. It doesn't matter what people think or say. It doesn't matter what goes on. You know, in the inside of you, though you might be confused in your mind sometimes, but something in the inside tells you that is where you belong. And that's why you are here this morning. I did not ask you to clap. You decided to clap, so you are not under obligation, so please do it well. God said to Abraham, conditions for general blessing is that you got to leave. If you leave, then I'll begin to reveal my intentions. And I'll begin to bring you into blessings. He said, leave your country. That is not to say you should leave Ghana, but it means to leave the ways of Ghanaians. And one of the ways of Ghanaians is rumor mongering, pull him down, crabology. When you put crabs in a basket, they make sure no one comes out of it. Anyone that attempts to come out, they pull that one down and make sure they all remain the same. One of the characteristics of Ghanaians is jealousy. We are envious and jealous of ourselves. We bring down one another. We say that which we haven't seen. And we destroy with our tongue. And that's why this nation has suffered so much. And that's why many other nations in Africa are succeeding. But yet, we are so backwards. And the reason is because we hate ourselves. Leave your country means leave the ways of your people. Give up the ways of your people. Don't be like your people. Be different. What it means to be holy means to be different. The word holy means to be different. Don't be like everybody. God said, I'm holy means I'm different from others. I am not like everybody. By natural birth, we are citizens of this nation. And by spiritual birth, we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And so we must be as people with a difference, with an understanding that though we are here on earth and we are Ghanaians, we don't do things like other Ghanaians. Leave your kindred, your kinsmen, your father's house, your mother's house. I told somebody the other day, I said, when my father died, and I put him in the grave, and stood by the preacher man, and said, dust to dust, ashes to ashes, from dust camest thou, and unto dust shalt thou return, I said in my heart, that is the end of my family. The family I now have, apart from my mother, is the body of Christ. And my loyalty is to the body of Christ. That is the family I belong to. I live and I die by the body of Christ. Because the blood of Christ is stronger than the blood of my father. Leave your father's house. Have you left? Where is your loyalty? How strong is your affection and commitment to the things of God? Do you choose between your father's house and the house of your God? God said, Abraham, first condition for general blessing, you have to leave some things. You got to let it go. Say general blessings. He said, I will make your name great. I will make you a great nation. And God said, everyone that blesses thee is automatically blessed. And anyone that shall utter a curse by desire or by imagination or by word against you is automatically brought under a curse. So you don't even have to pray about it. You don't have to pray. I don't have to curse anybody for cursing me or for wishing me evil. You automatically invoke a curse by cursing one that has been blessed. And you automatically come into blessing by blessing somebody that has been blessed. It's part of the benefits of the seed of Abraham. And the Bible said, if ye be Christ, then are ye the seed of Abraham. And I'm a seed of Abraham by rebirth. And through the blood of the new covenant, I am brought into the blessing of the Abrahamic covenant, and it is my right, my portion, and is given to me through birth. I will bless them that blesses thee and curse him that curses thee. I will make thy name great, and so greatness is a general blessing. Being a great nation is a general blessing. All these falls under general blessing. Say general blessing. Come with me to Genesis, the 13th chapter and the 2nd verse. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Say specific blessing. Say specific blessing. Say it again. Say specific blessing. The Bible said he moved from general blessing into specific blessing. What the Bible said, and Abram was very what? Rich. Not rich, but very. Say very, very. Say very means very. You know, a lot of believers, look at me. A lot of believers come to the place of general blessing and they never move again. They stay there till they die. Some also come into specific blessing and they remain there the rest of their lives. But there is a sure place and a better place God wants us to come into. Are you hearing me, somebody? Abraham came into a specific blessing. Say, a specific blessing. And here the Bible says he was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Very, 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 very rich. In silver, and in gold, and in cattle. God desire the same for you and I. He desired the same for every one of us. And next week, Sunday, you understand why he desires it for you. It is the will of God for his people to become very, very rich in silver, in gold, and in cattle. The Bible said in the book of Psalm 35 and the last verse, he said the Lord takes delight or pleasure in the prosperity of his children. That means to be poor means we deny God of pleasure. And what this means to be poor, poverty means to be voiceless, reduced to nothingness, don't have what it takes to provide even for your kids, can't provide ends meet. And through deception and the lie of the devil, the church has sold its birthright to the world. Today, many religions are invading Ghana. Islam is invading. Many other religions. They are everywhere in this nation and they are not operating by the Holy Ghost or fasting or prayer or the name of Jesus. They are doing it by economic emancipation, economic power. And it doesn't matter how powerful and anointed we are. We are not going anywhere until we understand the reason and the purpose of wealth. That the reason and the purpose of wealth is not so that we'll be wealthy to show off and let the whole world see our latest car. A latest car, driving in a latest car, is not the sign of richness or wealth. There are people who use the same car year after year and may not have liquid cash in their bank account, but they are possessors of many things. And Abraham was such. He didn't have liquid cash, but the Bible says he was very rich in silver, in gold, and in cattle. It's a specific blessing. And God wants us to come into that. Come with me and say additional blessing. Genesis chapter 14 and verse 14. The Bible said, and Abraham had 318 bodyguards, armed men in his house. If you are sitting by an empty chair, will you please show by hand? If you are sitting by an empty chair, please show by hand. If you are sitting by an empty chair. Those of you standing at the back there, ushers, will you please lead them in? Please come in. There are empty seats all over the place for you to sit down. You don't have to stand. Please come in. Ushers, you may go to them and compel them to come in, please. Let them take a seat so nobody stands at the back there. Say additional blessing. The man was what? Very rich in silver, gold, and in cattle. Specific blessing. And then he had an additional blessing where the Bible said that Abraham had 318 bodyguards, armed men in his house. That's an additional blessing. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong about having bodyguards. There's nothing wrong about having armed men. Additional blessing is of God. It's of God. And God wants us to have it as long as it doesn't become a snare between us and God. As long as it doesn't take the place of Jehovah. As long as it doesn't stand between you and God. God wants us to have it. You know, the other day, look at me, somebody. I was studying Psalm 72 and God opened my eyes to something that blew my mind and shocked me. And I said, oh, don't turn to it. You will not notice it until I show you what it is. Now, I know you all read the Bible. It's one thing to read. It's another thing to understand. Philip said to the Ethiopian eunuch, Understandeth what thou readest. So you can read and not understand what you are reading unless you are guided. So let me guide you. Amen. I find out that before it ever dawned on the Queen of Sheba, before she was ever born, before it ever came to pass that the Queen of Sheba will become queen over Sheba, and will send the gold of Sheba to Solomon, David prophetically prayed in advance before Solomon became king over Israel. And through Prophetic prayer. Say prophetic prayer. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. I want to say this to help some of you to understand some things about God. There is a place in God that if you walk with God and you are able to endure the test of times and go through the school of affliction and come out of the Bible said that out of the furnace of affliction and come out of the furnace of affliction successfully, there is a place God brings you to as a man of God or a child of God. When you speak, it comes to pass. It doesn't have to be that says God. God touches your tongue with the coal of fire and gives you inspiration. And anytime that inspiration hits you, you don't have to hear from God. When you say it, it stands. Elijah went to Ahab and said to Ahab, as the Lord God before whom I stand lives 3 years, 6 months, I take over the control of rain in your kingdom. There shall be no rain according to my word, not according to the word of the Lord. It's not everybody that walks in that blessing. That is another level of blessing. When we talk about blessing, people think it's just monetary things. There are blessings, vindication, like that woman that was just brought forward to join the choir. That is a blessing. Vindication is one powerful weapon of blessing that God gives to those who endure and can stand the test of time. He blesses you with divine vindication. Silence the tongues of your enemies. Shut the mouths of lions. We haven't understood God, and so we think blessing is just money. There are a lot of other ways of blessings we enjoy, and we don't even know they are blessings. And I'm going to attempt to try to help you to understand that blessing is not what you have in your bank account or in your pocket today. Because you see, what matters is not where you are today, but where you will be 5 years from now. What matters is not who you are today, but who you will be 5 years from today. What matters is not, ladies and gentlemen, what you have today, but what you shall have 5 years from today. And listen to me, you can have general blessing and lose it. You can have specific blessing and lose it. You can have additional blessing and lose it. But where I am taking you into, when you can buy into the mind of God and attend that sure deal, say the sure message, the sure message, the sure message. Now there is something we call mercy, and there is another one we call sure message. The sure message of David. Everybody can have mercy. Not everybody can walk in sure message. There are levels in God. There are a lot of things when I hear I laugh. Because when you have received the sure word, say the sure word. When you have received the sure word of God, you come to a place, a lot of things don't frighten you and many things don't move you. You know why? Because you know the outcome of situations. And though they might look good and great and powerful, the Holy Spirit just whispers and says, why worry yourself about it? That means it has no foundation. That means it's just a matter of time. It's a sure message. Additional blessing. And Abraham was God's friend and he was the father of faith. And God was not angry and mad with him that he had 318 bodyguards, armed men, born in his house. And that means that the man had the kingdom within the kingdom. He possessed a nation within a nation. He was a power within an empire. You couldn't do anything without seeking his consent. And the day is coming in the history of this nation. If Jesus tarried, it shall be done. And we will be here to see it happen. We are not going anywhere. Who said we are going anywhere? Who said? Who said we are going anywhere? Who predicted? Who prophesied? Under what unction or anointing? Under what legislation? The Bible said, who we see that say it, and it cometh to pass when the Lord God commanded it not. What are you talking about? Who said we are going somewhere? We ain't going nowhere. We are hanging around here. We are staying here. We are occupying till the coming of Messiah. Are you hearing me, somebody? If you believe it, say yeah. David, in Psalm 72, prophetic praying. My goodness, I love David. There was something about that guy. The mix of all the battles and the mental and emotional torture and the betrayals, like friends like Ahithophel, and the betrayals of sons like Absalom, and the betrayal and abuse of sons like Adonijah. Yet the man prevailed. And he prayed in advance for the son Solomon and said, he shall have dominion from sea to sea, from coast to coast. And to him shall the gold of Sheba be given. In advance of time, he prophesied that the riches of Sheba, the gold of Ethiopia, shall be brought to the feet of Solomon at the appointed time. And when the appointed time came, David had already spiritually made legislation. He had done spiritual warfare in advance of the gold of Sheba, of who should have possession and control over the wealth and the gold of Sheba. And by prophetic praying and spiritual warfare, place a divine hold and claim on the gold of Sheba, denying all other nations access to the gold of Sheba until the appointed time when Solomon had come into maturity. Then it came to pass that once upon a time, the queen of Sheba arose early in the morning and said, "Settle me my camels." And the Bible says she put together trains of gold and of silver and said, "Let us go to action as painted road." It's in Psalm 72 and verse 15. Psalm 72 and verse 15. And the fulfillment of that scripture can be found in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 1 and 2. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, the fulfillment of that scripture. Now look at me. What am I saying? Some of you don't get me yet, but I'll get there. You know what I'm talking about? Say the gold of Sheba. Say the gold of Sheba. Say the wealth of the wicked. Now, look at me. You know what David did? David, by the unction of Jehovah, did spiritual warfare in advance to secure the wealth of the wicked, the transfer of the wealth of the wicked into the hands of his son Solomon. Because Solomon needed the gold because Israel have no natural resources. And they are caught between two strategic nations, Lebanon. And Lebanon produces timber, the cedar of Lebanon. And Egypt has gold. And he was caught between Egypt and Lebanon. And Solomon traded between Egypt and Lebanon. He went to Lebanon to buy timber. Egypt and sold it for gold and took gold to Lebanon and exchanged it for timber, and that was how he did to make money for the nation of Israel. And that's why the father said he shall have dominion from sea to sea, from coast to coast. You know what? Today Christians, we are excited by general blessings and specific blessings and additional blessings. Once upon a time, God came to Abraham and said, "Now lift up your eyes and see. Look to the east, the south, the west, the north. and then walk the length and the breadth of the land of what your eyes can see. That means depending on your vision and your ability to dream and to imagine, you shall have possession over the extent to which you see and understand what you see. You shall have claim and possession. And God said it's not enough to see, but walk the length and the breadth. What does it mean by walking on the length and the breadth of the land? You are placing a divine claim and possession on the land. And he walked the length and the breadth of it. And God said, son, that is to tell you what is to come. Now, God said, Abraham, I want to tell you some few things. I want to take you from general blessing and from specific blessing and additional blessing to sure blessing. Say sure blessing. Say sure blessing. Now that is where I want to take you to. Sure blessing. Sure blessing. Not everybody comes into sure blessing. Sure blessing means an irrevocable blessing. Sure blessing is that which outlives you. Sure blessing means the future there. And there is nothing that can happen on planet Earth that can take it away from them. It doesn't matter. Coup d'etat, wars, name them. Economic collapse and hardships. The falling of the city against the dollar, the pound, the yen, the deutschmark. God said, when I bless you with a sure blessing, that blessing is sure. Sure, sure. Sure against all odds is sure. Nothing undermines the stability of what I give. When it is a sure blessing, it means it's what? Sure. Somebody say, sure, sure. I'm talking about sure blessing. I'm not talking about specific blessing. I've seen people that walk in general blessing and they think they've arrived. Walk in specific or additional blessing and they think they've made it. And it's just a matter of time. You see, folks, it's not what you are right now, but what you're going to be tomorrow is what matters. Are you hearing me? I was telling somebody the other day, I said, you just came on the scene. You haven't even endured for 5 years. Don't rub shoulders with me. He said, what do you mean? And I said, it doesn't matter what you think you have. If you haven't been tested and tried, it is not yours, and I am not impressed. So don't try to make me respect you because of what you have. You must be tried and tested first. After you've been tried and tested, and you still have it, then I respect you. Did you hear what I said? Listen, folks, let me tell you something. Anything that hasn't been tested and tried, don't lay your future on it. Did you hear what I said? Somebody say, I said, anything that has not been tested and tried, don't lay your future on it. You are building on sinking sand. You know what you should lay your future on? The Bible said, and a man, one build on a sand, and another build on a rock. And the Bible said, and in the process of time, 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 the wind blew, changes. The wind stands for changes. Every now and then, the wind blows. And folks, the wind is still blowing. Don't be deceived. The wind is blowing. And the wind must blow, and the wind shall and will, because it has been decreed by Jehovah that the wind must blow, and everything must be tried, and everything must be tested. So the wind must blow. And so when the wind is blowing, take it easy, and check your foundation. And if your foundation is all right, then go to sleep. Like Jesus slept in the midst of the storm. The Bible said he was asleep. Because why? He had a sure word that his mission shall be what? Finished. That in no storm, in no darkness, no persecution, no trial, no temptation, There's no letters move or whatever that can stop the counsel of Jehovah. For my Bible says, there is no knowledge, there is no wisdom, there is no understanding against God. But the counsel of the Lord, that is shall stand. Shout yes. Turn to somebody and say, take it easy, take it easy, take it easy. Take it easy. Turn to somebody and say, relax. Take it easy. Don't blow your horn. After you've been tested and you've been tried, then talk and I'll listen. And the wind blew. The wind. It stands for changes. There will be always changes. Politically, you've seen the changes in the nation. You've seen how somebody is almighty today and tomorrow is not. My goodness, there are more changes to come. And nobody can do anything about it. Even the president cannot stop some of the changes he must make within his own system and within those in authority. He can't stop it himself. He has no power against the wind. When the wind blows, he himself is compelled by the wind to make some changes. So changes comes. I tell you why the wind blows. And the Bible says, and the flood came. When the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Spirit of Jehovah shall raise a standard. So the enemy will come. You will be attacked. We are not exempted from the attacks of the enemy, but it's alright to be attacked every now and then. But just check your foundation. If you check your foundation, then you can be like the songwriter when he said, my hope is built on nothing else but Jesus' blood and righteousness. Ah, my goodness, he said, I dare not trust in sweetest frame, but only in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Then he said, I stand on Christ, the solid rock. All the ground is sinking sand. Shout yes. All the ground is sinking sand, but on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. So it's all right. Let the flood come. It's all right. It's all right to be misunderstood. It's all right to be betrayed. And it's all right to be wounded. And it's all right to be scandalized. And it's all right. It's all right to be misrepresented. It's all right. It's all right for you to be character assassinated. It's all right for people you have loved to reject you and despise you. It's all right for these things come every now and then. But it's all right as long as I know that on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All the ground is sinking, sir. It's all right. It's all right. Turn to somebody and say, it's all right. It's all right, friend. It's all right. Yes, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. And he said, and the rains descended. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You heard what Mr. Owari said. He said, for 3 days, they haven't been able to do anything because the rain has interrupted the activity on the ground. You can't do anything about the rains. You can't stop the rains. All you do is to adjust. All you do is to stand. All you do is to endure. All you do is hang in there a little bit longer, and the rain season passes away and another season comes. And for every season there is grace. For every season there is grace. For every season there is grace. You know, I have been through a lot of seasons. So I'm not afraid of seasons anymore. I know what it means to have and not have. I know what it means to lack. I know what it means to be without. And I know what it means to be undermined and to be betrayed. And I know what it means to be scandalized. And I know what it means to be misrepresented. And I know what it means to be despised. I understand and I know what it means to be feeling sad in the inside of you when everything is cool on the outside. And you're trying to be happy and you are trying to be glad. And you just can't be glad and you feel sad. And you are acquainted with grief, a man and a woman of sorrow. I know what it means to grieve. And I know what it means to grieve. And I know what it means to move and to walk around with pain and with sorrow in the inside. Even though everything on the outside looks good. But deep down in the inside, only you and your God knows what's going on. And it's all right, and it's all right, and it's all right, and it's all right, because weeping endures, it endures but for a day, but joy, by joy, by joy, by joy, by joy, by joy, by joy shall come in its season. For there is a season for all things. Just as the rainy seasons endures but for a time, your season shall also pass. There'll be another season. Say sure mercies. Say a sure blessing. Time is not on my side. I will stop here. Sunday, I will try to finish how to come into sure blessing. Wednesday, we want to look at signs of the end time. Where are we? What says the time spiritually? Folks, season comes and season goes. And I pray that you will be a man and a woman that can stand for all seasons. You'll be a man and a woman of all seasons. That it doesn't matter what season comes, you will always look out for the grace for that season and not worry about the activity of the season. Because in rainy season, over here we put on sweater. Out there we put on winter coat, winter jacket, winter this and all that. There are different seasons in life. And you can change it. I can't change them. They come and they go. But God has granted us grace that for every season, whether it is a season of lack and a season of want, we can stand. You know, there's a scripture I keep quoting, and somebody said, it looks like you're a master of Romans 8 these days. And I said, no. But when revelation dawns on you, the Bible says, when wisdom enters your heart, then shall knowledge be pleasant to your soul. When wisdom enters your heart, when revelation hits you, then knowledge shall be pleasant to your soul. The Bible said, for there is a spirit that dwells within man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth that spirit within man understanding beyond the natural understanding of man. You know, when you understand that everything has a time limit to it, and season comes and season goes, then you can understand Paul when he said, for thy sake we are killed all day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. You can now understand why we are counted as sheep for the slaughter, and we utter not a word, and we endure anything, we say nothing, because of him. He said, for thy sake, we are humiliated, we are demoralized and reduced to nothing. And it's like we have no strength, no power, no ability within ourselves to defend ourselves. And we hold our peace for thy sake. We are killed, slaughtered all day long. Then he said, you know what? Nay, in all of these, though we are killed, all day long. Killed by words. Killed by attitudes of loved ones. Killed by what people do. Killed by what you feel and see around. Killed by what's going on. carried to the slaughter, misrepresented, slandered, people manipulating situations against you to kill you. He said, for thy sake, we are counted as sheep to the slaughter. Yea, we utter not a word. But in all these things, we always are more than a conqueror. And he said, what then can separate us? After we are killed all day long and we are still alive. And we are counted as sheep for the slaughter and we are not slaughtered. And we are more than conquerors. What else can separate us from the love of God? Then he said, shall tribulation or distress. The Bible said we are troubled on every side. Troubled on every side. Perplexed on every side. Hard pressed on every side. But not in despair. He says, shall tribulation or distress, nor persecution, nor famine, means famine of finance, or famine of love, or famine of affection, or famine of friendship, or famine of relationship, or famine of favor, or famine of contact, or famine of possession, or famine of whatever, name it, shall famine. Oh, nakedness, adeja, adeja. Oh, nakedness, he says, shall nakedness. Oh, yes, no peril, no difficult times, nor war, nor sword, said Paul. He said, for I am persuaded, I, Paul, am persuaded, that not even that which everybody fears, death, nor even life with all its challenges, nor angels, invincible beings or super beings, oh, he said, principalities, persons without bodies or powers, dominions or thrones, said Paul. Nor things present, whether they be visible or invincible, nor things to come, said Paul. Nor even heights, up to the level of the United Nations, where you have access to Clinton and to those who matter. Or have investment in the Hong Kong stock market, or Singapore stock market, or Kuala Lumpur stock market, or New York stock market, or Japan. He said, for I'm persuaded that neither heights nor depths below, nor any other creature can separate us from our love and commitment for God. And David said, I'll finish it when I deal with sure blessing. Next week Sunday, sure blessing. David said, because I have set my affection on the house of my God. Because I have set my affection on the house of my God. He said, with my own personal goods, I have given to the building of the house of my God, gold for the things of gold, and diamonds for the things of diamonds, and precious stones for the things of precious stones. He said, I've given rubies, and I've given granites, and I've given marbles, and wools for the things of wools. Of my own personal treasury have I given to the house of my God, because I have set my affection on the house of my God. Where is your affection? David said in Psalm 91 verse 14, the Bible said, because he has set his affection on me, that I will deliver him, and in trouble I will be with him. Where is your affection? Where is your affection? For all things work together for the good of them that love God, that love God, that love God, that love God. The underlying word here is your love and affection for God. Do you love God than your own desires? Do you love God than your own ambition? Do you love him? Do you love him than your own affection, than your own wishes? Do you love him than your own expectation? Do you love him than your own drive? Do you love him? And how much do you love him? Do you love him in bad times, or you only love him in good times? The Bible says, for eyes have not seen nor ears heard, neither has it entered the hearts of men, what God has prepared for those who love him. How much do you love him this morning? Wednesday, we want to talk about the signs of the times. If I were you, I would not live in ignorance. I will come and I will have knowledge. For the Bible says, buy the truth, and sell it not. This is not the time to be ignorant. This is the time to have knowledge and understanding of the times and the seasons we live in and what is on God's mind. So that we may run the race. We may run the race. We may run the race. We may run the race with patience. For we know that we glory just not in the glory of God, but also we glory in tribulations, problems, difficulties, trials. Paul said we can glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience worketh experience, and experience worketh hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. My story, this is my song. Well, I'm praising my Savior on that day. diakoros te kambratas. Le rosto kaprandia, sambaran haskis. Ke le de supruka andos te krisi pandasatas. Oyandro bohosi ki pro angos sitisi brianto kestes. Londi kibri inti saprado kos. For even as gold is tried in fire, said the Lord, so I desire my people to be tried by fire. Yea, for until gold is tried by fire, said the Lord, it is not yet proven. It is not yet proven. And so must my people be tried by fire, so they can be proven by what they go through. And so said the Lord, do not think that the Lord thy God, even I the Lord, has forsaken you, and that I have ears but I hear not, and eyes but I see not, and hands but I cannot touch. For I have ears because I did create the ears, so I hear, and I created the eyes, and so I see the afflictions of my people, said the Lord. But my people need to go through. For you must walk through, even as a child born must crawl and walk and then run. It's a process, said the Lord, that you must go through, that you may come to a place of maturity and growth in me. Yes, said the Lord, that I can entrust into your hands my purposes and my secret, and do with you even as I have desired before time, said the Lord, that you might come into, that I might reveal my intentions and my purposes to you, even as I did to your father Abraham, that I reveal my intentions and my purposes to him. For, said the Lord, hold on and endure and go through that character, that character. At the end of the day, at the end of the day, may we stand all things, that you may be found lacking in nothing. In nothing, said the Lord. So let grace for every season carry you through. Let grace for every season undergird and undertake for you, that you may come, you see, into that perfect person, that you may become that perfect man and that perfect woman, and enter into that perfect place that I have desired for you to come in. For do not feel nor think that I have forsaken you, and that others are making it, and how long will I tarry? And for many have said that, Lord, how long will I go through, and how long will I endure, and how long will I be troubled, and how long will those who trouble me and despise me prosper or succeed nor go for it, said the Lord my God. For when gold is on fire, and when gold is in fire, it does not have the ability to speak for itself. For I will speak for you, said the Lord, at the appointed time. For I have times appointed and seasons ordained, said your God, to bring you through and to avenge you and to vindicate you. And when the appointed time has come, even as my word said, when the fullness of time was come, I sent forth my son to die, that he may redeem those under the law. And so, hold on and endure, even for all your time, for all your seasons of change. Hold on until the set appointed time. For have you not read and be told that in my time I make all things beautiful? I make all things beautiful, and I shall yet make all things beautiful. And you shall yet triumph. You shall yet triumph again. And you shall yet prevail, and you shall yet win. But for now, you must go through the process of purification. You must go through the process of purification. You must go through the process of sanctification. You must go through the process and allow me to cleanse your spirit, to cleanse your soul, to cleanse your body, to cleanse your body, so that you may stand pure, you may stand blameless before me, that you may serve me without guilt nor condemnation. So allow me to take you through the process, and do not run away from the chastisement of the Lord thy God. For him who I love, I chastise. And so know that even the chastisement of now, it's painful and it's unbearable. But yea, when you have yielded, it is not painful anymore, like a woman in travail. And there cometh a peaceable fruit of righteousness, a peaceable fruit of righteousness. And so endure, said the Lord thy God. For times of changing and refreshing and rest, times of refreshing and rest our plan. So labor hard and finish hard and finish hard and finish hard the race that you have begun, that you may come into rest, that you may come into rest, that you may come into rest, and yet that you may comfort others with the comfort where you have been comforted as a result of the things you've been through, and so that you can earn it, you can earn it, you can earn it. For yea, in me men must end and women must end. My blessings, said the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. Jesus.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.